U.S. troops are wrapping up military exercises in Honduras, and to the south, the guns of Nicaragua have fallen silent. Sandinista troops are reported withdrawing from jungle war zones under a ceasefire agreement with the Contras signed late Wednesday night. But the truce is only temporary, and much hard bargaining remains on the path to peace in Nicaragua.
That after 7 years of fighting, the Sandinistas and the rebels may be ready to put down their weapons.
The nine-point peace plan announced by the Contras and Sandinistas went further than anyone expected. The agreement calls for the temporary truce now in effect to be extended through the end of May, but conversations between the two sides continue.
Even a Contra attack on a Sandinista army unit in northern Nicaragua, violating the truce now in effect, was dismissed by both sides as an isolated incident.
And so we have taken a first step to achieve this peace which Nicaraguans so need. It is a peace plan to end war in all of Central America. It is a peace plan for the right of the people of Central America to be independent. It is a peace plan to end the foreign military presence in the Central American region. It is a peace plan for the Central Americans.
A new round of talks is scheduled in Managua for April 6th, while a lower-level team of negotiators will meet in Sapporo to arrange the logistics of the ceasefire. Other highlights of the accord include a timetable for the release of Sandinista political prisoners, free speech guarantees, and a Sandinista agreement to consider abolishing the military draft. The Sandinistas have also pledged to open the door to any Nicaraguan who wants to return home, regardless of previous association with the Contras. The agreement was read by João Baena Soares, Secretary General of the Organization of American States, who was a witness to the talks. The signing ceremony marked the first joint public appearance of the Contras and the Sandinistas, who together sang the Nicaraguan national anthem. Ortega said the advances were possible because of the high-ranking level of both delegations and because the negotiations were direct. But Contra leader Alfredo Cesar went one step further with his reference to an unspoken understanding between the two sides that neither one could win the six-year-old war.
There is a tacit position on both sides, and neither side is looking for a military victory over the other, and that both sides are in the negotiating table presenting different proposals to stop the bloodshed.
Political observers say the Contras may also have been motivated by congressional rejection of two rebel funding requests. The hard part for the Sandinistas may be convincing their supporters to coexist with the people they have viewed as their enemies. Pro-Sandinista journalists, who have always referred to the Contras as mercenaries and worse, have already begun to tone down their rhetoric. The Contras are doing the same.
For the first time in 7 years, the weapons held by both sides in the Nicaraguan conflict may have been silenced. But there is no dancing in the streets of Managua, and life seems to go on as usual. The historic agreement, just signed by the U.S.-backed Contras and the Nicaraguan government, extends the current truce until the end of May. But this initial step toward peace is getting mixed reviews. One Sandinista soldier says he is worried that the Contras won't live up to the terms of the agreement. But Juanita Cruz, whose teenage son is a few months short of draft age, hopes the agreement will do away with the unpopular military service. Opposition politician Ramiro Gordian is hedging his bet.
No. The Sandinistas are willing to sign anything. The problem is to comply with it. And that's why the Nicaraguan people are not celebrating today. When we get to the real deal and something good come out, then the Nicaraguan people will celebrate.
The Sandinistas are hoping a halt in the fighting will also end the shortages and high prices that have been a way of life because of the war. Could only bode well for Nicaragua.
It shows signs of of a realization of what Nicaragua has been working for since 1979.
In the meantime, the Sandinistas are hoping that their agreement with the Contras will end the bloodshed that has marked so much of Nicaragua's recent history. What remains to be seen is if a people so divided by years of war and revolution can learn to live together.
It is a bad day for the cynics. Once again, we see that despite the claims of the administration, Central Americans were able to arrive at an agreement by themselves. They did it without the threat of Contra aid.
It's so important to provide continued support for the freedom fighters so that they maintain their capability and their organization, because it's that has brought this about.
The White House Chief of Staff Howard Baker on foreign policy and key to...
Both the supporters and opponents of Contra military aid have differed on the proper means to the end, we are apparently finally beginning to see the achievement of what all along has surely been everybody's goal, a cessation of hostilities and real political reforms in Nicaragua that can be the basis for a permanent peace.
This agreement is the product of the determination and sacrifice of the freedom fighters through years of struggle, including their heroic resistance last week to a Sandinista offensive designed to destroy them.
This is a bad day for the cynics. Once again, we see that despite the claims of the administration, Central Americans were able to arrive at an agreement by themselves. They did it without the threat of Contra aid.
The question for official Washington is whether the Sandinistas will keep their side of the ceasefire agreement. President Reagan's answer, I don't know. Secretary of State Shultz called the agreement an opportunity for peace, an important step. But Shultz added the administration is skeptical the Sandinistas will keep this promise when they have broken promises in the past.
That is one reason, an important reason, why it's so important to provide continued support for the freedom fighters so that they maintain their capability and their organization.
I think it's more important now than ever before. This is the time to continue to exploit our opportunities, just as I think Ortega was trying to exploit the other opportunity when Congress voted to cut off aid and he immediately attacked. He didn't take the pressure off. Neither should we. We should move right forward as well as we can.
Shultz said in order to pressure the Sandinistas to keep their word, Congress should pass a new Contra aid package before the Easter recess, which begins next week.
The agreement provides for continued aid to the freedom fighters, but there is no aid. Congress should provide that aid immediately before the Easter recess to sustain the freedom fighters while these negotiations continue.
Congress must immediately redress the grave mistake they've made and send an aid urgently to the freedom fighters before it's too late.
While the ceasefire agreement specifies the Contras will accept only humanitarian aid, the Reagan administration has not ruled out trying to get a provision for some expedited lethal aid request included in any new aid package. House Speaker Jim Wright says a new aid package could be speeded through Congress by the end of next week if there were an agreement between both houses and both parties on a package that would actually pass.
This aid would have to be in harmony with the provisions of the ceasefire agreement. And if there is broad bipartisan support in the House for such a package, it is possible that we could pass it next week and get the aid flowing to the Contras and to the children by Easter.
But Wright suggested he would balk at an expedited lethal aid provision.
The peace talks and a happy occurrence of this agreement today make everything new. And I really believe that whatever we do has to be supportive of that process. I think the administration, as well as the Congress, wants to do everything within our power to comply with the wishes of the people in Nicaragua on both sides. They have expressly declared that they believe humanitarian aid is appropriate, but no military aid will be received.
Just as the ceasefire agreement does not envisage any further U.S. military assistance at present, So, is there absolutely no excuse for any further deliveries of arms from the Soviet Union, Cuba, or the Eastern Bloc to Nicaragua?
While there is considerable sentiment on Capitol Hill for at least food and medicine and clothing for the Contras, getting that minimal humanitarian aid approved may fail if it gets tangled up in questions of whether the CIA should deliver the aid and whether the lethal aid option stays alive.
I'm not here to lay down an ultimatum. I don't think any of us has it in his mind that we're here to say, take it or leave it, here's something we'll offer, and you have to buy just exactly what we've written. That wouldn't be a collaborative effort. But rather to announce our willingness if the Republican colleagues are anxious to pursue it, and if the White House is willing to pursue it, to try to work out a minimal program to support the ceasefire in harmony with that which both sides in Nicaragua have agreed to.
Speaker Wright says if Nicaraguans who have been shooting at each other can agree, surely Congress can. But after 6 years of Congress running hot and cold on Contra aid, that isn't sure at all.
If they are on training exercises, why are they carrying live ammunition? If they are training, why are they closer than 20 miles of the Nicaraguan border?
Back from backbinding and...
Supporters of the Nicaraguan Contras are claiming the presence of additional American troops in Honduras this past week may well have helped motivate Sandinista leaders to reach a ceasefire agreement at the negotiating table. The troop deployment impact in Washington was to trigger another sharp political debate. If they are on training exercises, why are they carrying live ammunition? If they are training, why are they closer than 20 miles of the Nicaraguan border? Mr. President, get our boys out of that war zone. Mr. President, get our boys out of that border battle zone before some of them get killed.
All of the little democracies in Central America, Honduras, El Salvador, Guatemala, Costa Rica, are watching the U.S. to see if we will stand behind them. That's why this exercise was important.
The action in sending 3,500 Americans to a point near the border of Nicaragua has alarmed the American people, conjured up the ghosts of Beirut, and puzzled our allies.
There are some that if the Sandinistas dropped a nuclear weapon on New York City, they would claim it fell out of the plane by accident.
The issue of the U.S. troop deployment to Honduras was also debated on the streets of many American cities.
Once again, federal workers had to sneak into work between riot cops and protesters determined to make life difficult in government service. Once again, one of the primary entrances to the federal building turned into a confrontation line of the opposing forces and a bruising police action to keep the doors open. Arrests came in bunches. Those who wanted to be arrested as a statement either walked to the paddy wagons or were carried. One man who had tried to run from police was chased and bloodied his face when he fell. Most of the protesters are motivated by a personal need to speak out about the Honduras deployment and the overall administration policies in Central America.
Got up early, I have class later on today, I have a test later on today, but I wanted to make a presence here because I'm against this. The policy of the United States in Central America.
I'm playing hooky. I'm a school teacher called in sick. I think this is really urgent. It's urgent for my kids. I teach junior high and high school, and they're the ones that are going to be drafted. So this is very important to me that we head off any kind of war effort before it escalates. And what happens, hopefully, if they do press charges, we turn it around, basically, and put the United States government on trial for its actions in Central America.
The workers in this 20-story federal building wonder, why us? The building houses courtrooms and bureaucrats, but for the protest, it is a target of symbolism and convenience. Once protesters are arrested and then released, it is the easiest place to return to for another round of anti-war demonstrations.
When the Reagan administration shipped 3,500 troops to Honduras, it brought a near-instant response last week of 5,000 protesters on San Francisco streets. it was no accident. The fervor of the anti-Vietnam War era has met the sophistication of modern technology.
It's Monday, and the demonstration today is again at the federal building.
Answering machines at protest groups across the country put out the word hundreds of times a day, detailing where to go and what to do. At a budget of $12,000 a month, which comes from donations, this committee uses computers to spit out names and telephones of hundreds of potential demonstrators.
People who have signed the pledge have committed themselves to civil disobedience as well as legal demonstrations whenever there's a major military escalation in Central America.
The group called Pledge of Resistance uses so-called affinity lists, individuals who will spread the word at work or at school.
Organizations like these thrive on lists of people who donate money, donate their time, donate themselves to be arrested at demonstrations.
Local radio stations report rally times and dates as a public service.
In our public service announcement policy, we're obviously very concerned that people know where events are happening that they can participate in.
Our other demonstrations have been covered so much by the press. They're putting the word out for us.
On the opposite side of the issue, conservatives use the same techniques, but turn out smaller crowds.
Your average 40-year-old conservative is not very likely to turn out for a rally and be arrested in front of the federal building.
Borrowing another lesson from the Vietnam era, when a third of the protesters at Monday's rally had been herded off to jail, those remaining declared the rally a victory and went home.
The U.S. troop deployment has also triggered sharp political debate in Honduras as well.
Honduran authorities are preparing to say goodbye to the 3,200 American troops deployed here. Many politicians here argue that they wouldn't be needed in the first place if Honduras didn't give sanctuary to the Contras.
As long as there are Contra camps in Honduras, they are going to become a military objective. Honduras is going to become a military objective of the Sandinistas.
Honduras is the second poorest nation in the hemisphere, and there's growing resentment that the influx of Nicaraguan rebels and refugees is draining the country's few resources. In the border district of Olancho, peasants complain that the Contras have pushed them off their land. We don't like the Sandinistas, says this woman, but we want the Contras to get out.
I think this is the fault of the Americans. They got us into this. That's what I think. The Honduran people shouldn't have to suffer as the consequences.
Many here believe there'd be no problems with neighboring Nicaragua if Washington didn't pressure Honduras into giving sanctuary to the Contras.
I think that Honduras has been the big losers. My opinion, we have been doing the dirty job for the United States in Central America.
As U.S. troops continued war games with Honduran soldiers, the government here protested to the United States for allegedly saying that troops were airlifted to Honduras last week to protect Contra rebels from a Nicaraguan offensive. The protest note delivered at the U.S. Embassy here follows a wire service report from Washington, quoting Defense Secretary Frank Carlucci as saying that the troop deployment was intended to give moral support to the Contras. The alleged U.S. statement has embarrassed and angered Foreign Minister Lopez Contreras. He and the nation's defense minister told Congress here Wednesday that they requested the airlift only to protect Honduras from a Sandinista incursion.
Congress of Honduras and the people of Honduras should have been informed immediately. The first time we found out about all this happening was through the international press, not through the national press, and much less through the Congress.
The foreign minister accused the opposition of being more worried about the military presence of an ally than about the armed incursion of Nicaragua into Honduras. The only comment from embassy officials here is that they've received the Hondurans' letter of protest, and that they'll answer in due course through an appropriate channel. Nicaragua's ambassador claims both Honduras and the U.S. gave more than just moral support to the Contras during last week's border offensive.
In the Aguacate military base, there are 800 injured Contras in a hospital that was already there, and two warehouses that have been converted into clinics. The Contras were transported there by Contra helicopters and U.S. helicopters manned by American pilots.
A conservative opposition senator in Honduras also told CNN that there were wounded Contras at the Aguacate base, despite denials from military officials here, who would not allow us inside the compound. Washington denies Sandinista claims that much of these soldiers' hardware and supplies will be left behind for the Contras at Aguacate, a military base used until recently to train and supply the rebels. This CNN reporter was not allowed to go into the base and was detained and had a videotape confiscated for trying to film the premises from outside.
I think that in the past, some logistical support to the Contras has been made through these military maneuvers.
Congress has already sent three auditors from the General Accounting Office to make sure that when they depart, they don't leave any of their supplies behind for the Contras. Despite criticism by some military experts over the way the exercises were coordinated, military officials here are hailing the joint maneuvers as a success. But their political value, both here and in the United States, remains in question. Some Honduran senators are considering calling for a sanction against the president for inviting in the U.S. troops and bombing the border without consulting Congress. And recent demonstrations in the U.S. show that American opinion remains divided as well.
You gotta run, man. Just walk, man. Brains walk, brains walk.
As for the 3,200 U.S. troops, they'll start leaving on Monday.
Step toward peace, the big story this week. This is Don Miller, CNN.